From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thursday morning, November 30th, 2023. It is the Beating the Book podcast megapod for week number 13 in the National Football League. It's Gil Alexander, live from Bar Canada at the D, where we've been recording all of our shows this year. Can't wait to introduce our guest this week, an annual guest these days, upon whose shoulders this podcast in part was built. First, a welcome to our pillars, though. From his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, PA, Todd Wishnev. What's happening, Todd?
Oh, I'm in a great mood. Vanderbilt plus 16, and the guy fouls with 3 seconds left down 16. I'm excited.
Okay, would you like to get that out of your system first? So describe it to everybody what happened. Go ahead.
I have Vanderbilt plus 16 and a half. They're down 11 with 140 to go. They're down 16 with 27 seconds left. The other team, but Boston College, is doing the dribble out. We've all seen the dribble out, right? Yeah. We know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to just dribble it out. And then they throw it to a guy with 9 seconds left. There's two guys standing next to him. And then all of a sudden they start slapping at the ball for no reason whatsoever, and the ref calls a foul with 3 seconds left, and I lose. Now, give me a break. That's not supposed to happen. These kids went to 800 AAU games. They don't know what a dribble out is. Come on.
I've never heard you angrier about any bet that you've ever made.
It's infuriating.
All right. Is it like out of your system? They're good? We good now? We can move on? And from his lair, where he does the Bear Bets pod with Chris Felica, both college and pro versions, and this megapod. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. By the way, you can follow Todd at TWishnev. It's Wilson Hilson. How you doing, Will?
Boys, what's going on? I'm good. I feel like we say it every other couple of weeks, but, man, we get to flip the calendar to December pretty
amazing
soon here, and my goodness, where does the time go? It feels like we're just sitting here end of August, early September, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and now the season is just a few weeks left. So, man, it goes quickly.
2/3 of the NFL regular season behind us. It's incredible. I mentioned at the beginning, this podcast was built in part upon this man's shoulders. We're happy to have him on once a year here on the show for an annual appearance. Love having him still in the rotation. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him by many names. Johnny the Greek, Vegas Runner, Ace. How you doing? What's happening?
Yeah, please stop dead naming me and being violent towards me. You got to remember, it's 2023. You got to be politically correct. I'm just kidding. But with that out of the way, I'm glad to be on. And your timing could not be any better, honestly, Gil, because I'm red hot right now.
Nice.
Like, you know how it goes during the year. Sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're cold. It just happens where right now, anything I'm touching is going good. Like, I actually got into stock two nights ago, and I woke up today, and it gapped up over 50% overnight. Like, things are just happening where I'm like, I need to go downstairs and play Megabucks sometime today because I just can't do no wrong. So I think the timing is good coming on.
What stock was it, if I might ask?
VFS, VinFast Motors. It's the Vietnamese EV company.
Okay.
Which is, he's like the richest guy in Vietnam, and he created his own EV company. And I got in at like $5, and this morning I $5.80, and I looked up this morning, it was gapped up to like $11, man.
Since we're talking about that, let me just have a CNBC moment before I move on to football, which is, I was saying this on a numbers game this morning, and Todd has a background in this industry. And I'm curious because Mark Cuban just sold 57% of the Mavericks for $2 billion at a valuation of $3.5 billion. And my first reaction was, wow, Skins got sold for $6.05. They're one of the most valuable franchises in all of sports. $3.5 billion for a basketball team. That's pretty incredible. But Joe Pita, who has spent a lifetime in finance on a Wall Street, he was like, yeah, actually, the way to look at it is, you know, money that he pulled out aside. He's like, if you look at the S&P 500, the appreciation of the Mavericks over the 23 years that Cuban has held them is actually 124th out of the 500 stocks in the S&P 500. If you had invested in Nike or even less sexy, John Deere, over that time period, you would have actually, it would actually compounded more for you. So isn't the real lesson of the Mark Cuban thing, Todd, beyond the ego of owning a professional sports franchise and still being able to feed your ego and have fun owning a sports franchise, but just from a sheer monetary standpoint, isn't one of the lessons of this sale, hey, kids in your 20s and your 30s, max out your 401k. Just let that shit compound over time. Do you agree with that assessment from Joe?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, everyone knows that the market historically is going to go up about 10% a year over the last, you know, 90 years or so. And then, you know, in the world of compounding, obviously, you know, works for you when you when you're dealing with that. The thing, though, that I would say is I think these sports franchises are on the high side of their uptrend, because I remember only a couple years ago, the Bucks were sold for like $260 million. I don't remember exactly when that was, but there's going to be a point where they've pushed it too far. With the sports stuff, and it's going to be, and then you'll see, you know, it, like any other thing, even charts that trending up, they have downswings too, you know, and I feel like we're closer to a top than a bottom on, you know, I mean, the Mavericks selling for, you know, a valuation of $3.5 billion. I mean, that's just, that sounds a little crazy.
Sounds a little high to me too, for sure. Okay.
Tom. You disagree, Ace? Ace, you disagree?
It's so funny. It's all these valuations are based over the last decade of free money. We had a zero interest rate for the last decade, and all they did is print money. All these valuations are just a reflection of that printed money. It's not a reflection of the value of the company. As soon as we run into that wall where we could no longer pay our debt, that we're going to find out what these companies are truly worth.
Right, so you agree.
It's starting to happen slowly but surely.
So you're saying you agree with me that the $3.5 billion for the Mavericks is a little crazy?
100%. 100%. It's warranted in today's world, but I think we're a few years away from realizing just how fake of a sale that was. All these valuations are ridiculous.
It's also
with NVIDIA, Tesla, all of them. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, PETA actually said what you said too, which is it is backloaded. Like, he thinks that the jump in the valuation is probably backloaded to the last 10 years. He did say that as well. Okay, Todd.
Yeah, it's all printed money.
Todd, court stenographer, please. I had my second bad week of the year. Let's hear it. What happened?
Yes. Oh, well, first of all, I apologize to the listeners. When I couldn't write in week 11 because I had the injection on my elbow, I forgot to include those records in the records, and somebody pointed that out. So I've got it all fixed up correctly now. So I appreciate whoever that guy on Twitter who was who pointed it out. Anyways, the point is, Gilly had an 0-2-1, which is so un-Gilly-like, Mr. 18-1 or whatever ridiculous run he was on there for a while. And I said it's going to come to an end sooner or later. And it did come to an end. He was fortunate with the Eagles -3 to even get out with a push.
You're right.
By the way, before I go any further, I will say my best in-game bet of my season, maybe of my last five seasons of my life, was as the Bills are driving down inside the 20 of the Eagles, they're down by 4, as we know. They were losing by 4. And I look at the book. It says overtime +900. I'm like, overtime +900.
Oh, that was your best bet. Yeah.
What happens when they get a touchdown and the Eagles come down and kick a field goal? That's not a +900. That's insanity. So I bet like maybe like 0.2 of a unit to win, you know, like whatever, 9-1 on that. And of course, we all saw, I finally got a lucky kicking thing. Of course, it should have never been a 59 yarder in the rain because they were down already at like the 33 yard line with plenty of time. But anyways, it went to overtime. That might've been the best bet of my year. Anyways, the Eagles -3 ended up a push for Gilly.
I don't know if you explained it well, but if you missed what Todd said, as the Bills were coming down to take the go ahead touchdown, which would have put them three up, and then the Eagles would have had the chance to tie it up, which is exactly what happened. It took a 59-yarder through the rain to do so. But, yes, 9-1, and what it speaks to for me is you're not in Nevada, and you're in Pennsylvania, and I just can't emphasize enough how great it is to be outside of Nevada, because as I like to, as Will and I have joked before, boy, when we get legalized sports betting in this town, in this state, it's going to be something. We had a bets giving contest the seven days at VSiN, so we were given access to DraftKings app for 7 days where we normally wouldn't be for this contest. And by the way, the standings were all for Kachta, and I ended up like making over 70 bets. I was like 39 and 35 or whatever. But some of the best bets I made, yours is the best of them all. That 9-1 was so sharp. We don't have that available here, right? And you guys had access to some of my bets, like, you know, oh look, Oregon is playing Oregon State. If Oregon State can score this game, make it a 14-7, I'm totally betting Oregon right here at -13.5. Bang, they score, right? Like, we don't have that readily available in Nevada, or more that we might have. But the third quarter bets, right? The Dolphins are getting the ball first against the Jets. They're -2.5. Thank you very much. I'll take that. Like, that is, I so am envious of what you guys have available to you that we don't. And so, again, just that's our PSA for in-game betting, man. If you're in a state that's not Nevada, so many opportunities that are better than any pre-flop bet you could ever make. Sorry.
And that's why I think we should get an RV, and we should drive down to just past the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
There's an exit right there that you could sit on the side of the road, which I've done before when I was in Las
Me
Vegas.
Too. I've
and
done
you
it.
Can get all the Arizona betting things. All we have to do is whatever that county is, are we allowed to have like a TV on the side of the road there and have people's cars lined up? We charge everybody like $50 or something. That would be a great business, you know, for somebody, for those Vegas people who want to, like, it's only 30 minutes. It's not even that far of a drive.
35
minutes. Just drive right over the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. The problem is there's literally nothing there.
Well,
it's literally the desert.
It's so funny too, because you are driving to one of America's, if not America's, finest engineering feat, the Hoover Dam. So as you drive there, like, someone's like, are you here for the glory of the Hoover Dam? And I'm like, no, I'm just here to make a bet, buddy. I'm just going to cross the thing and just plant my car in this little cove in the wall and in the mountain, and I'm going to make a bet. We've all done it. I did it for like some FanDuel World Series MVP bets, not this year, but last year. But the other part of your Nevada sensibility also is, the one thing you can say about Nevada is MGM and Caesars will take a big bet. I forgot they don't take big bets. So you also have to factor that in. It's like, do I want to drive to Arizona to make a $200 bet on Christian Javier, right? So there's that too. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead with the stenographer.
Okay. So anyways, yeah. the records, Gilly falls from 23-10 to 23-12-1.
Mm.
Will had a 1-2.
Willie.
Last week, he goes to 18-18. Oh, by the way, both of you are 7-5 on teasers. We lost the teasers with the Lions, so you're both 7-5 on teasers. I go 1-2 also. My Jags won, and my Kansas City under lost, and my over Bears lost. So I am now 18-16-2, and I am leading in teasers at 8-4. And then the guest spot, Ace is going to have to hold up the guest spot. It went 1-2. They're 20-14-2, still very solid, and also 7-5 in the teaser. So that's where,
man,
we are going into week 13.
Okay. So I basically sucked, but you guys barely made it up any ground, is what happened. We had a bad week all around. But I will say this, though. I knew, and I said this on last week's show, I had a bad feeling about that week. I didn't like anything. That was Thanksgiving. was the worst slate of games in terms of a betting slate that I remember it having all year. I feel completely different about it this week, which we'll get into.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties. And they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Before we get into our best bets, last thing. Does anybody, maybe this is one of your best bets, I don't know. Anybody have a play on anything in tonight's Thursday night football game where the Cowboys are 9-point favorites hosting the Seahawks? The total's 47.5. Is it anybody yeah. One of their three best bets?
I'm going to make it one of my bets.
Well, Ace, yes. We'll start with Ace.
Ace, you go first.
Yes, sir. I'm on the Seattle side. I think this is a great spot where I'm pretty confident that I'm getting more points than I should, and that's the best I could ever ask for. Again, I can't decide how it's going to come out, how they're going to turn out the game. I mean, whether there's bad calls, whether whatever happens, there's a lot of randomness involved. But what I do know is that I do believe that this line's inflated. There's a lot of recency bias involved. We know how hot Dallas has been, not only winning and covering, but blowing their last three opponents out. They put 40 plus points up in two of their last three games. They've covered each of these games by double digits. And more importantly, they got the Philadelphia Eagles up next, which falls for a classic sandwich game. And you already saw the books throw in the teaser protection. They bumped that one up immediately through that key numbers, so he can't tease it down with that 6-point teaser. To me, it's just every signal that I look for pretty much confirmed. And now it's just, will Seattle be able to keep it close if they're able to get it done? And I think they are. You know, they're a top 10 offense, when you adjust for strength of schedule in their passing success rate, which is enough to put some points up on this tough Dallas defense. And I think Seattle's got a decent enough defense not to allow Dallas to put up 40 plus on them. I like Seattle plus the points, hoping to be able to get 10. I don't think I'll need it, but that's pretty much just what I've been sitting back at to see if I could get the 10.
All right,
but I'm going to jump at 9.5 anyway.
Is it 9.5 now or 9? Yep. What do we got? 9.5? 9.5. All right.
Nine and a half.
Okay. Todd, this is going to be one of your best bets too, this game, Todd?
Unfortunately, I have Seattle 2 plus 9.5.
Oh, wow. I would not guess that. Okay.
I said last week, what is Dallas going to just win every single game by a million points? I mean, what league is this? I've never heard of a National Football League where you just every single week, nothing bad happens and you just win by a million points. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And it was actually on Thanksgiving. It looked like it wasn't going to happen on Thanksgiving when Washington was hanging in there at 14-10. And then, you know, the roof caved in on him. But, you know, typically when I make these kind of pronouncements, like you can't win in the NFL by 100 points every single week over and over, I'm usually one week early as usual. And of course I was 1 week early in saying that, you know, but come on, you can't win every single game in the NFL by 25 points. It's just not normal. And so, and who are they beating? Washington, Carolina, the Giants, the Rams was good. I'll give them that, but still, I've watched the National Football League long enough. You know, Seattle, I don't like Seattle. I can't stand Seattle. But 9.5 points? Are you freaking kidding me? That's a lot of points in an NFL game. And I just don't think Dallas can keep winning every single game by a million points. So give me Seattle plus 9.5. I'll grin and bear it and I'll just do it. But I think it's a good bet.
Hey, Todd, did you watch the Vanderbilt game last night by any chance?
Yeah, let me tell you what happened. They were down 11.
Will, anything on this game?
I'm going oppo here. I will lay it with Dallas.
Wow.
I think they are custom built to just beat up on these mediocre teams. I do think Seattle's a mediocre team. I don't like their secondary. It's sort of a young and experienced secondary. They've been getting carved up here. San Francisco, they toyed with them last week. They could have named their score. They really took the foot off the gas in the second half. And Seattle is hell-bent on running the ball. Even last week when they're down two, three scores late, they're running the ball. Problem is they can't run the ball. And Walker's out. Charbonnet's fine. But to me, Dallas gets a big lead here. They have if my favorite play, we can't use it, obviously, would be Cowboys team total. There's a 27.5 at DraftKings. I like the over. Their last three home games, 43, 45, 49. Okay, that's not sustainable. Okay, there's some recency bias, but six straight games with 30-plus at home. I just think they get well into the 30s here, and I just don't know. Is Geno healthy? Is Geno capable of fighting back here and getting the garbage touchdown, which you always worry about laying a big number? But I'll plug my nose here. I'll lay the points here with Dallas. I just think they're such a front runner, such a bully, that I think they're good for this number.
Okay. I don't think we've had a time this year where three out of the four of us had a play on the Thursday night game. And if I had to guess, if you had told me that in advance, that three of the four of us were going to have a play, I would have thought it, one of them would have been on the total. Primetime unders this year, by the way, 29-9, 76%. I don't think there's anything to that other than it's just been a big under environment period in the NFL.
Island games too, like the London games all go under, so yeah. That doesn't count as a primetime game, but that's still like a standalone game. So if you factor in the standalone games, the London games even more, even those are unders.
If I played anything here, it'd be the under on this, but I'm not touching it. All right, but those are so
even though it's that high, Gil, even though the total's moving up, and they threw that high of a total with the trend being so under heavy.
I'll tell you why I think it's under to me. I think that if you look at the analytics sites about the Seahawks defense, I think they're underrated because they sucked early, and now they've got like Leonard Williams and they got guys back that are healthier now, obviously Adams being one of them. So I think there's that. And I think Dak against the zone is not as good. They play a lot of zone, Seattle does. They're like the second highest rate of zone. And then I think on the other side, they can't protect Geno at all. Like, I think Micah Parsons is going to just kill them with a makeshift offensive line. They have like a rookie playing on one side of the offensive line today. So it's not a best bet for me, but that would be my instinct on that.
Oh, wait. I think I'm hearing something.
Oh, no.
28-13. Score 28-13. There's 13 seconds left in this ball game. Seattle at the Dallas 9-yard line. And Geno out of the pocket. He's going to run for it. He dives. Touchdown! Seattle gets it. And they're going to lose this ball game 28-19. So plus 9.5 is going to cash.
I love when he loses his breath at the end. This is phenomenal.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so does that mean I get to start best bets since you guys had one already? Yeah?
I think so.
I get two right here? All right, Pick numero uno. Full disclosure, I have this in my betting account at 2.5. But I got the Niners -3 as my number one here. I got the Niners -3, and I know, Will, you said this yesterday on a numbers game. Does it concern me that everybody appears to be on the Niners? Yeah, a little bit. But I do think this is a spot. The Eagles can't, as much as Todd is saying, the Cowboys can't crush everybody by a million every week. The Eagles can't win every damn game. Like, this just can't happen over and over where they have no business winning games and they find a way to do so. Should have lost to Dallas. should have lost to the Bills. For sure they should have lost to the Bills. Maybe even should have lost to the Commanders before that, the Commodores. I think this is where they lose. The Niners are on extra rest. The Eagles played damn near five quarters in the rain on Sunday. And I just think that the Eagles have been skating as a luck box, as a Stevie Fezzik luck box for so many weeks. And I think this is the week. In my betting account, I have it at 2.5, like I said. Would I have bet it at 3? Yeah, probably. I don't love it as much, clearly. But I like the Niners here. I think they're the most complete football team in the NFL. And I think that becomes readily apparent this Sunday to everybody who doubts them. And I think Brock Purdy, after this week, becomes a serious MVP candidate. That is my call on that game. So I'm on the Niners in game number one. Game number two, and I bet four of these during guessing lines. Like, as much as I hated last week's slate, I love this one. Pick numero dos. I'm just going to get you. Oh, what are you? Oh, they're at 3.5 now. Ooh. I'm still taking them. I'm still taking the Houston Texans at a bad number. I bet this at 3. I'm going to take them on the Megapod at 3.5, which is the consensus, because that is the consensus everywhere now. It's painted this. It was 3 on Monday morning. The Denver Broncos are a mirage. I know everybody's really hyped about the fact that they've gone from 1-5 to 6-5. They have done so based on turnover differential. The last four games, their turnover differential is plus 12. This ain't the 1983 Washington Redskins, who for the season had a unbelievably incredible and never to be broken plus 43 turnover differential. Plus 43! Every week that Skins team was getting a plus 3 and a plus 4, like clockwork. The Broncos have done it in four games where they're now at a plus 12. You can't keep doing that. If anything beyond the 1983 Skins, it is unsustainable. And I don't think they're a very good football team. And I have the Texans as my 9th best team. We did power rankings this week. And the Texans is the 9th best team in the NFL. I think they roll here. I actually think they win this by margin. Give me the Texans, even here with the hook. Houston, Texans. You're nodding, Ace. You like that one, huh?
Yeah, I bet them on the money line, and I laid the 3 as well. I think it's a great spot for them, man. I mean, like, their last 3 losses are by 3 points or less, and I agree with everything you said. I think Denver's as phony as a $3 bill, and that defense is just so bad. I think Houston's going to have a field day.
Phony is a $3 bill. By the way, we'll get back to Ace for his pick, but you said off-air, for those wondering, because Ace has been on the Vegas Lifestyle Show with us every year until the last couple. You want to get on it this year, you said?
Indeed. I think it's necessary. I like I said, the way that where the world is trending, I think especially the sports betting is just growing and growing and growing, and younger people are getting involved in it. And this podcast has a big enough reach that I think we owe it to the listeners. We need to update some of the things when they come to town.
Okay, let's do that. We'll get you on there. People are looking forward to that. No.
Is that a Philly accent, Ace? Is that a Philly or Baltimore? I'm trying to place it because we have Todd's
Ginzer accent. It's strange because English was my second language. Like, I'm Greek was what I spoke in the house. I probably went to school and knew about 5 or 6 words when I got to kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
But it's a Philly mixed with whatever else that is accent.
Philly Greek. All right, yeah. I gave 2. We're snaking back, so this is Will. Will, what's your next one?
I'd like to be different, but I'm totally in line with your thinking. I'm going to take the Texans here. I'll lay the 3.5.
Wow.
This is just a total house of cards here with Denver. All of their defensive stops are off of turnovers. All of their offensive success comes off of short fields because of the turnovers. And when you're just plus 3, plus 4 all these weeks, you can't sustain that. They're really handcuffing Wilson. They're asking him not to lose the game. If they get behind, I don't trust him to come back and, you know, get him in the back door here. So I'll lay the 3. I hate the hook. I would love it, obviously, a lot more if it was 3, but this is just Denver winning close games based on turnover luck. It is completely unsustainable. Texans minus 3.5.
Can I get some reaction to that Redskins 1983 thing? Plus 43.
But that was a different league. That was a different league where there were turnovers. That's
yes,
a completely different era.
100% right. But I watched every play of every game that season. It was amazing. They had 61 takeaways.
That's insane.
61.
I know, but if you converted that, if like the inflation rate,
okay,
if you converted that to today's, would be like 35. Would still be great, but it would be much lower.
From 43 to 35. Okay, I'll guarantee
that.
I'm with Gil. That's a staggering stat.
It's a staggering stat in any era.
They had 43 for the season?
Plus 43, the differential.
Right, so they'd be like plus 25 this year.
Todd Wishnev, turnover differential inflation rate.
I'm just saying, there were way, if you look at the NFL in the old days, there were much more turnovers than there are today. Each turnover in those days is like 2.5 of a turnover nowadays.
Right.
We don't have.
Right. That's correct. But the correct,
why is that though?
But the correct way because of they play, the correct way of viewing that is what that was based on all the other teams then, and it was still
great.
Exponentially more.
One second, I'm not taking anything away from the Joe Gibbs and
damn it,
your never ending love for this franchise. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just because when people hear these numbers, they're probably like, oh wow, that's a tremendous amount of turnovers. Yeah, it is, because in those days there were turnovers. Now there's not turnovers like that because everyone's scared to turn the ball over. They know if you turn the ball over, you're going to lose. So it's a completely different league now.
All right, I'm just going to go the last decade. In 2006 there was a plus 17. Bear with me. 2007 there was a plus 17. I could go by this. It's pretty incredible what they did.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't have that nowadays. You can't get to plus 40. It's impossible.
The San Diego Chargers in 2007 had a plus 24. How about that?
Which is a ridiculous number for that, even that.
That's a ridiculous number. Anyway, okay. Dad, what's your number two?
Okay, my number two pick, and you know, it's slim pickings again this week.
I disagree.
You know, I'm gonna go with I'm going to hold my nose and go with the New Orleans Saints. I have two hold my nose plays. Seattle, I'm holding my nose, and I'm going to hold my nose again with the Saints plus 4. Here's the thing. Detroit, you know, I was all big Detroit. Look at Detroit. Wow, Detroit. And I still think they're pretty good on offense. But wow, the defense has really been bad lately. I can't believe that, you know, Green Bay's just moving up and down on them. The Bears are just moving up and down on them like they're not even there. You know, the Saints at home, you know, as much as, you know, Derek Carr makes me, you know, with his endless 4-yard passes, makes me want to puke.
So bad.
Sooner or later, you know, they're going to have a decent offensive game. They're not that bad. And now they're at home and they're getting 4 points. And, you can't be laying 4 points unless you're a really good team on the road in the NFL. And the Lions, they're good, but I don't know if I'd call them really good. I think there's been some chinks in the armor lately. So I think that line's a bit inflated. I think 4 is a lot of points to be laying on the road when you're a team that's good, but not, I wouldn't call the Lions elite. So let's all just calm down with this whole Lions love, and I'm going to take the Saints plus 4.
Do you know how much incoming I took when I had the audacity to have the Lions just outside my top 10 for most of the year, and the highest I've ever had them is 10th? All the Lions lovers just coming after me. I'm like, nope, this is exactly what they are.
I would have disagreed with you then. I would have been like them because I was high on the Lions too, but I've started to, you know, lose a little luster with the Lions lately.
2010 Patriots plus 28, 2011 Niners plus 28. Those, I think, are the next closest to the plus 43-83 skin. Okay. Ace, your second and third picks. What do you got?
I like the New Orleans pick from Todd. That's offense versus defense, and I will take defense as well at home for sure, catching points with New Orleans. But real quickly, let me make this my second pick. It's the Chargers, New England, over. I'm going to go over 40.5. Right now, at where you're at, you could get over 40. That's what I did. But with grade 40.5, that's what it is across market. And this is a simple case of an efficient market correcting itself. Yes, I get it. These have been under teams of late, especially. But when you look at the number for the Chargers, this is the lowest total they've had in a long time. In their last 10 games, only once have they had a total close below 44. So the market has definitely adjusted for the lower scoring. I like that. And then I look at the Chargers offense. I think they'll have no problem putting up points against a very weak New England defense that's ranked 23rd in passing success rate, especially with Ayer coming off a bad game. The last time he had a passer rating below 80, he came back with a passer rating of 115 his very next game. And that's what he did exactly last game against Baltimore with a passer rating of 75.7. I think he bounces back with a big game. And on the flip side with New England, the only thing I can say simply is a progression to the mean. Like, you can't get worse. Just look at their quarterback's play in their last couple games. Look at those ratings, 27.8, 42. Like, the only way you could go is up. It's pretty hard to go down from that. So I think any improvement to quarterback play is going to help this team put up points. And going against the LA Chargers, who, again, defensive passing success rate are 26th in the NFL, I think even an anemic offense like New England will be able to put up enough points where combined they get us up over 40. I think Chargers, New England over 40, 40 and a half, excuse me. And finally, this is one of the sharp plays. I provide accounts for different groups and different sports, and two hit the same exact side within 20 minutes of each other. And I agree with it. And it's the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night catching the 6 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Liz, I'm high on the Chiefs like everybody else, but I like what I've been seeing of Green Bay of late, especially of Love. He's done nothing but improve. And anytime he's had a bad game, he's bounced right back. That's what I love. He's coming off a great game, and I think that continues. He's had 3 of his last 4 games have been phenomenal. I think he's given a little bit too many points here. I think it's even worth a sprinkle. KC's got a game with Buffalo up next. Again, you're not going to overlook Green Bay in Lambeau on Sunday night. But with that said, it's still at a conference. You're on the road. And I think the Packers catching 6 are live here. So I'll go with over in the Chargers New England game. And then I'll go with the so-called steam move on Green Bay plus the 6.
Ace, let me ask you a question about sprinkle. You made it famous on this podcast for so many years saying sprinkle. And I used to throw in the E40 jingle afterwards where it would hit as you said it. When you hear everybody in the gambling world using that phrase now, do you believe you had something to do with that? Like, or do you believe that was something that was said rampantly before you used to say it?
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. Absolutely not. No, no, no. I started that back in when we were like over a decade ago.
Yep.
When we were together.
Yep.
And it came from something in my life that had nothing to do with sports.
Yep.
That's why I know that I brought it into this realm. And we just said it so much, and the podcast was so big. Remember, there weren't a lot of shows back then.
No, it was just us and Millman.
So much to choose from. Exactly. Yeah. So the bettors were listening to us, and they just started using it in their lexicon. And then those people started doing their own content and using it, and it just spread. And, of course, you're never going to get credit as an originator.
Of course not.
But we did start it so far back, and now when I see it, I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
That we actually added a word.
We added a word to the... You started breaking up there.
We left something behind that'll not be erased.
We left something behind. Let's hope we left a lot of things behind, but that was definitely one of them for sure. Okay, that means we're back to Todd for his final one.
Yeah, well, I coined the phrase tuchus push that everyone's using. They call it tush push, but
right.
I started it out as tuchus push, which is a... derivative of
by the way, somebody made a college game day sign for a numbers game this morning, and they did a bingo card for all the shit I say. And Tuchus Push is on here, Todd. It's one of the bingo squares they got on there. So that's from you.
Yeah, there you go. Tuchus Push, I love it. By the way, as far as Ace's over 40 and a half L.A. Clipper bet, I kind of like that one, too, especially because remember we talked about it on Dr. Bob when both teams You know, when the spread, like one team spread is 7-2 and the other team spread is like 2-7. Same thing on the total. When both teams have the under, one is 3-7, one is 3-8, like it is in the Patriots and Clippers game. Typically it's going to go the other way because they've over adjusted to this. So that's why I really like his over 40 there. I just was scared that Belichick is going to go into that thing where he gets stubborn and he just says Ramondre Stevenson, right, Ramondre Stevenson, left, Ramondre Stevenson, middle. And he just starts getting stubborn. And then he just decides, okay, I'm just running the ball. I don't care whether we win or not. And so that was why I didn't play it, but that's kind of, you know, I like it too, but anyways,
can I ask a Bill Belichick question since you bring it up? He's obviously going to the Hall of Fame. But do you think after this season that there is a comma and the last phrase that people will have to say about him is, but he did kind of suck when Brady wasn't there? Do you think that's part
of it
now?
I think that's not fair.
You don't think that's fair?
I don't think. I mean, he was a good coach with Cleveland. He just kept running into the Steelers with Coach Carr and that. We used to give him a whooping and that. But he,
What'd you say, Will?
I mean,
the move killed him in Cleveland. There's a good documentary about that where they had a really good team and a good season go, and then middle of the season, they found out they were moving, and that team ended up being the Ravens. So, like, I don't know. I don't know I think that is a part of it, too.
So then what we're really saying is Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi are so bad at football that any coach would have been this bad.
Well, I mean, how many years do you want the guy to be amazing?
And he's 72 years old. You're allowed to maybe the game pass you by a little bit at 72. Yeah. If that's what you're saying, I mean, Will, yeah.
He was only a dominant figure for, what, 20 years single year?
I started by saying he's the first, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. No one's doubting that. I'm just saying, does that sentence creep into people's minds now?
Well, because people are idiots and they'll say that, but I don't think it's fair.
Okay.
I think now it is, but like, when, you know, 20 years from now, when the dust settles, I think it'll get lost more than it is now. Like, we're all
in the
moment. There's recency bias where, I said this about, I think when Durant signed with the Warriors, we're in the moment. It's like, oh my God, how could he do this? Nobody will remember these titles. Like 20, 30 years from now, people just remember Durant won this many titles, scored this many points, and things fade over time.
Yep. I think you're probably right. Go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry.
Okay. My third pick. It was between going against my Yenzers down there where I got the free parking on. So, you know, you got to get that email from the Rivers Casino. Otherwise, you're going to pay $100 to park at the casino and walk down at a game. Now, I got my free parking this week, and I was thinking about going with the little Menchkin guy, Kyler Murray, and that. But I just can't pull the trigger because that Cardinal team is not real good. And, you know, I have a feeling that maybe the Steelers can cover the number. So I'm going to stay away from my Steelers. Game. I was thinking about taking Cardinals plus 5.5 in that, but I won't do it. Because, I mean, when do we ever win a game by 5.5? When do the Steelers ever win by? We don't ever win by 5. And in fact, we don't ever win the first half. We never win any. It's ridiculous. Anyways, I'm going to go with, instead of that, I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jagoffs. That's another Pittsburgh word. They call people Jagoff. Hey, Jagoff. The Jacksonville Jagoffs. -9 against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
And the reason I don't like laying 9 points. I mean, who wants to lay 9 points in an NFL game? But I am actually, and I've been high on Jacksonville, I think, more than most people, you know, for a while. And I think it's because their defense is better than people give it credit for. And I just think that this Jacksonville team is a real legit contender in the AFC. In fact, I think it's going to be between Jacksonville and the Ravens who ends up being in the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are not the Chiefs. And so I think it's going to be between Jacksonville and the Ravens. And I know that Jacksonville got spanked by the Niners that one week, but other than that, they've been playing amazing. And, this Tim Boyle character, whoever they have, not Tim Boyle's the Jets. Who's the guy for the Bengals? I forget his name. He's
Jake,
like
Jake Browning.
Right. No. I put Tim Boyle and Jake Browning together. But Jake Browning is not ready for the National Football League. And come on, the Jacksonville defense is good. You know, when I'm going to lay a big number, I want to make sure my defense can hold the other team down. So that's why I like Jacksonville this week. I think they can hold the Bengals to, you know, 13 points and win this game, you know, 24-13 or something. So I like Jacksonville -9. And I'll just hold my breath that I can cover the 9.
All right. Will, your final pick.
Todd hinted at it. I'll go with the Cardinals. I'll take the 5.5 for all the reasons he mentioned. Steelers don't pull away from anybody. Tomlin, it's interesting. I'm not a huge trend guy, but Tomlin, there's a pattern with him where he's good off of a loss. He's good as an underdog. Well, he's not off of a loss, and he's not an underdog. He's off of a win. He's off of a favorite, and he is a favorite. I just think 5.5 is a lot with that offense for Pittsburgh. Every single game they win is 20-17, 17-14. So that was ugly last week from Arizona, but maybe you're buying a little low. You can get maybe a backdoor from Murray there, run around and do something. I don't think it's going to take a lot of points for Arizona to cover this. I will take Arizona plus the 5.5. It was between that and San Francisco, but I don't want to have two of yours, Gil. So I will go Arizona plus the 5.5.
All right. My final one is the Indianapolis Colts. Taking the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm laying the points against the Tennessee Titans on the road. It's actually a better number than I got it at now. It's what, -1? Or is it a pick?
Yeah, Colts -1.
Colts -1. I'm taking this here. I don't know. This is a really weird one for me, and I don't know that I've ever given this explanation for any pick I've ever made. But you ever catch an interview of anything, and it lands on you in a certain way where you're like, oh, this team's about to do some stuff? That's how it was for me with the Colts when they squeaked by the Patriots 10-6 right before their bye week. The Colts had one of these byes the week before last where I think it was perfectly situated on their schedule. They're 5-5. They managed somehow to get a 5-5 into the bye without Anthony Richardson and without Jonathan Taylor for most of the season. I don't think Gardner Minshew is that good, quite frankly, but the interview was with Jonathan Taylor, and he was super excited about the fact that they were having a week off and that then they could reset. And they knew that their schedule, by the way, on a numbers game last week, I said take the Colts plus 180 to make the postseason because their schedule is cake the rest of the way. I don't think they're a great football team, but I think they're better than the Titans.
Why don't you read their schedule to us?
I shall do that. Thank you very much. I really should do such a thing. Here was their schedule. Before the bye, by the way, it was at Carolina, at New England. Then they got their bye. They beat Tampa Bay last week. Now it's at Tennessee, at Cincinnati, home Pittsburgh, at Atlanta, home Vegas, home Houston. So they are winning the games they're supposed to win. They've got Tennessee here now at Tennessee. I think if they look at their schedule, this might be one of the easiest of the rest too, as well, I should say. I think they win this football game. I don't think very much of Tennessee. I think the shine has come off Vrabel. I don't think we think of him as a particularly great coach anymore. I think we talked about this about Derrick Henry in the past weeks where it's like it might be over for Derrick Henry or it might be the beginning of the age curve for him. Will Levis has kind of just been meh. I think the Colts are a better football team, and I think Jonathan Taylor now with all of these weeks at full strength, I like the Colts here. This is my instinct on guessing lines was Niners, Colts, Texans. Texans was probably my favorite. And the fourth one was the Chargers over the Patriots. But the Chargers still laying a lot of points, so I'll make the Colts my third. And there you have our best.
By the way, before we go to the teasers, can I just say one quick thing about in-game?
Yes.
Another one of the in-games, and this is why it's so important to watch the games if you want to, you know, win it in-game. Now, I've been terrible this year. This has been a bad year. I've also been unlucky with the kicking. But you know, last week, Williams for the Rams was playing the Cardinals. And if you watch the first game between the Cardinals and the Rams, in the second half of that first game, they just handed it off to Williams, and he gashed him. He looked like Wisconsin in 2016, where they would just run for 9 yards every play against Ball State. That's what it looked like. And that's never what it looks like in an NFL game. Typically, when an NFL game is up like 2 scores and the other team knows you're going to run, it's hard to run. Mm-hmm. But they were up big, and they were literally handing the ball to Williams, and he was gashing them for 8 yards, 9 yards, 10 yards. It was ridiculous. That was the last game. Then this game comes up, and the first half of this game, he's got 64 yards on 10 carries, which is 6.4 a carry, which in the NFL is a gaudy number already, right? And if you're watching the game, you're going, wait a second. The last time they played the Cardinals, everyone knew in the stadium that it was going to run, and they ran like crazy. Now in the first half again, they hand it off to him. He's running like crazy. I'm sitting there and he's got 64 yards and I look at the in-game and it's 97.5 And the Rams are up big in this game. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what happens here. They can keep giving it to Williams. He's going to keep killing them. So what do? The first handoff off at the commercial, I make over 97.5. I texted it out on my WhatsApp group, over 97.5. He's got 64. They hand it to Williams. He runs for 50 yards on the next play. I literally won the bet in 1 second. But I didn't even need to because they literally were getting 6 and 7 yards a gash. And that's why when you're watching the games, if you can notice these little, you know, subtleties and go, wait a second. When in an NFL game, when you're up 3 scores, is it that easy to run?
Yeah.
It's never that easy to run. And you see something like that, you got to take advantage.
But it brings up the bigger point that we've made before about watching games versus not watching games. And we know, like, yes. Bob is always on the show, right? Dr. Bob, a dear friend, who, you know, I've said it with him present, so I don't feel like I'm talking behind his back. He makes it a point to say, and he almost wears it as a badge of honor, right? Where he's like, I don't watch that many games. I kind of think he's kind of fibbing because I think he watches more than he lets on, but it's kind of a thing for him. You can't possibly, I don't care how good your models are, you can't possibly win as many bets not watching, and you can't pick up on as much stuff not watching. You just can't. You can't. And we have guys who are super successful as contest players, right? Las Vegas Chris doesn't. He's like, I don't want to sit through this. I don't want to sit through this. So,
how about Ace? Do you watch
why don't you let Will talk once for a second?
No, I was just going to say quickly, I can think of two examples recently, college basketball. Last week, I was on the air of VSiN. It was Syracuse Chaminade, and I think they were laying like 22 before the game, and you couldn't make the number high enough. Chaminade, it was the third game in 3 days against the D1 school. They had no legs. They were out of gas, and Syracuse just beat them by 50. And every time, you know, there's a TV timeout, I just kept laying it and laying it, and this isn't pass post, and I was saying on the air, and they just look completely overmatched. The other example, there was recently a Boston College Vanderbilt college basketball game, and you could tell early on they were calling a lot of fouls, and that late in the game, that game might get a little dicey with the foul situation. They might get a late foul that could push it from like 16 to 17, so that was another one.
Are you talking about during a dribble out, Will?
It took me like 10 seconds to figure out where he's going.
A dribble out? Yeah. Is that what you're talking
about? Why, did you have money on that one?
No, I haven't even heard about this game. What happened? You tell me the Vanderbilt guys just whacked at the guy with 3 seconds left when it was a dribble out? Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, that one built slowly. It took me a while to catch on. I was like, what is he talking about? Oh, I get it now.
I saw what he was
doing. All right, before we get to the final two questions.
What about Ace? Did you ask Ace about whether he watches the games?
Ace, you watch or you don't watch?
No, I'll be honest with you. Since I've gotten divorced over the last couple months, it's been finalized. I have the TV on more on games, and I've watched a couple more games than I usually would. And I'll be 100% truthful with you. It's been a waste of time. Like, all it's done is it's convinced me that I've wasted my time, and more importantly, my emotions. Like, I lost a game that I went to the end. Like, I did this already. It seems like I've already done this so many times in the past. Why do I want to go through this again? And it just doesn't help me at all, Gil. Like, and this isn't a brag or anything like that, but right now at Wager Talk, I'm sitting at number one in college basketball. I haven't watched a college basketball game. I finished Major League Baseball, number one in baseball. I didn't watch a single inning of a baseball game. I think if I did, I wouldn't be able to profit like I have been able to in sports, because I think my opinion would affect my judgment and my bias would affect my judgment. So I just don't let that, you know, come into the picture. And I think it served me well. I love the guys that are able to watch a game and pick something off and take advantage of it at the betting window. I envy that. I know I don't have that skill set, so I don't even try to acquire it. To me, it becomes a waste of energy and time. And like I said, emotion, to where I don't even want to invest that. I'd rather put that elsewhere so I won't even have the games on rarely.
It's interesting because this is what makes betting on sports so interesting, right? Because there's a spectrum of sports bettors. And here's the thing. If that works for you, if whatever works for you is working, keep doing it. There is no sacred correct answer, right?
No.
I'm not wired in a way where I can't watch it, but you are wired in a way where you can avoid watching it. By the way,
I don't even want to know the results. Real quickly, I check my results the next morning. I swear on everything that I'll have my biggest bet on a Sunday night football game, and I will put on a movie and go to bed and wait till morning to find out, because I don't even want it to enter my mind and have that affect me while I'm trying to get my 6 hours of rest.
Wow.
Like I'm trying to make it that much a point to not let it affect the rest of my life. Like, that's my business. I handle my business, and then I don't want it affecting me when I need to do something else. And I know it would if I was going back and checking the score. And if they lost, it would affect me. And if they won, it would have affected me. Either way, I don't see it as a positive. So I just avoid it. For other people that could handle it,
More
power to them. And like I said, I envy that. It's just I'm not capable of doing it.
Hey, you're probably better at life balance than I am. You probably are. We're definitely cut from a different species cloth, that's for sure. But you probably have better life balance. Sorry to hear about your divorce. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it.
It's a positive. It's a positive.
Yeah. Divorce.
I mean, if you get divorced and you don't watch any games, think about how bad that marriage was. I'm just kidding, Ace. But by the way, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, you don't even watch games and it still couldn't work? I mean, give me a break.
Usually get divorced because you watch too many games, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
This was definitely not meant to be.
By the way, we have Dodd on the bingo board for a numbers game, too. I'm trying to think what other really Wishnev-related ones we have. Fezzik. Mishpucha. That's not you. Fakachta. Hobbs Dobbs. A whole bunch of stuff on here. Okay. Teaser of the week. Where Todd, what's your record? And what Will and me are 7-5?
I have the number one record on the teasers at 8-4. Everybody else is 7-5.
You have a one-game lead, Todd. I know you were very excited by that comment right there, but it's a one-game lead.
Hence the fact I said I'm the number one record.
Okay. Ace, your favorite two-team teaser of the week, sir, as the lines are currently constituted.
Okay. Full disclosure, I tease. I only tease the numbers, you know, the key numbers through the outs that I have that give me 6-point teaser -110. I don't even lay -120s anymore. If I can't find -110 at 6 points, I don't even want to tease it. And I think with my approach, the only mathematical plus EV teaser available, I believe, would be Jacksonville tied in with the Jets. But since I wouldn't have an opinion and I would just tease numbers, that's what I would do. But for the show, I want to have an opinion. And I do like the Jets side. I do think the wrong team's favored in that one. I think that's a great teaser option. Number one, the total open 36. It's dropped down to 34. We know each point's worth more, the less points expected to be scored. So I like that. I like that they're home, and I like that they're getting through those key numbers of 3-7 by taking the Jets up to 8.5 on a 6-point teaser. And then I'm going to pick a side that I like on the point spread, and this just adds a little insurance, and that's the Carolina Panthers, over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the reason's simple. As anemic as offense has been, they're top 15 defense as far as passing success rate goes. And I think that's more than enough to keep this within the number. And I like that the total is also dropping from a high of 39.5, now as low as 37. I'm able to take them up to 11.5, and 37 points are expected to be scored. I think that makes some sense. I'll lay my teaser with the Jets plus the 8.5, whatever we're using, and Carolina plus the 11.5.
Okay. Yeah, the Wongers are slim pickings right at this moment, aren't they?
Yeah, they adjust usually within the first day or two. The ones that they know they're going to get wonged on, they bump them like they did with Dallas, that teaser protection that they pull.
The ones that they know.
But it's also a dead giveaway when they don't. Look at last week with Thanksgiving on Thursday when they didn't teaser protect the Detroit Lions. All the talk was about how that's the most teased game ever.
Yeah,
how
it
there's
was
so much exposure, so much risk, and yet they're not rushing to go to 9 or 9.5. They're willing to take a position. To me, that's just a red flag. Again, I may be seeing something that's not even there, but that to me is just a red flag.
By the way, we didn't get to talk about this game on this podcast, but it was one thing that Green Bay came out and popped them in the mouth and took that early lead and held that lead. To me, the most damning thing about this game, and I said this on the radio side, which is the lack of urgency of the Lions in the fourth quarter of that game when they were down two scores was so bizarre. I'm like, do they know they're down two scores? Like, let's pick it up a little bit, guys. And then they finally did get within one score. But at that time, they had only an onside kick would have saved them. So, I mean, that was very odd, that performance. Who we got here? Dodd.
By the way, one thing also, I understand exactly what Ace is saying, by the way, about not letting his mind get infected by what he's seeing. And there's definitely something to that. I'm not saying that there isn't. I just feel for me personally, it's better. And also, I lose out on rants. So, for instance, I had the Jets team total under 4.5 against the Dolphins on Black Friday NFL Day.
Brutal.
Under 4.5 first half with Boyle at quarterback. And I will tell you right now, the Jets did not get on the Miami Dolphins side of the field. You know, there's two sides of the field in the NFL. At the 50-yard line is one side of the field. The other side of the field is the other side. The Jets, I took under 4.5 team total after I saw they were not moving the ball. And they never made it onto the Miami side of the field in the entire first half. And I had under 4.5. By the way, it's hard to get a touchdown.
Doesn't that then affect the rest of your day, like the rest of your handicapping? Like the last full game, the game that I watched was last week when I had Nebraska on during the, I don't even know if it was Saturday or the weekday game. They ended up, you know, exactly. And I'm like, why did I even do that to myself? I swear that was the end of it because it affected me the rest. Like that was still early in the day. There was still so much to handicap, so much to bet on. And the fact that I had to go through that those last 5 minutes, I just felt like it's going to affect the way I'm handicapping the rest of this card. And if like you, it doesn't, that's awesome that you could compartmentalize.
Well, no,
that.
I mean, at times it does. And I've taken so many shots to the keister at this point that I'm almost numb from getting blasted right. on these ridiculous losses and that I just have to go, okay, you know what? Shake it off, go to the next bet, shake it off, go to the next bet. But the point is the Jets did not get on the Miami side of the field and yet still had 7 points, and I still don't know how they got the 7 points. I think Tua threw a pick six, but anyways,
look how well Ace that he got over that Vanderbilt game yesterday. He hasn't talked about it at all yet today.
And Ace is right. By the way, Ace, I didn't bet the rest of the night after the Vanderbilt game because of that.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, should I keep going or should I just be like, you know what, that's enough for tonight? And part of the reason was that was such a heinous loss that I was just like, okay, you know, enough for tonight. That's it.
It is interesting, right? Because betting is a reflection of the human condition. People handle stuff and deal with stuff the same way or approach stuff in different ways, I should say. By the way, I spent the last 5 minutes looking at a football field to make sure that the 50-yard line, in fact, splits a football field in half, and it does check
out. Yeah, and you can't get on. It's hard to get a touchdown if you don't get on the other side of the other team's field.
You are correct.
But yet,
yes,
Hashem found a way to give me a keister blast in the most ridiculous way of all time.
Do you think Hashem is in the business of keister blast? Do you think that's up on his list? You think
he does it. Who, he's like, how can we insert a hot poker into the most sensitive of regions against Todd when he has the greatest bet of all time? A team to not get 4.5 when they can't even get on the other side of the field. Okay, anyways, with all that being said, I agree with Mr. Ace. I'm also taking the Jets up to 8. I don't believe in the Jets. I can't stand the Jets. I can't stand their offense. I can't stand anything about the Jets. I hate them. I hate Boyle. I hate everything about them. That being said, their defense isn't that bad. It's pretty good, their defense. So I will say there is a guy that I hate more than the Jets, and that's Mr. Desmond Ridder. Mr. Stare down who you're going to throw to and then throw it directly to the opposing team, Desmond Ridder. He stinks, and he still stinks. I don't care that they won the game last week. He threw a pick that was so ridiculously heinous, I couldn't even believe he threw it. And he's going to go into the Jets. The Jets could get some turnovers against him. It's going to be hard for the Falcons to win by margin when they have Desmond Ridder at the quarterback position. Give me the Jets plus the 8. And then in the second side of it, I'm going to go with the Vrabels plus the 7. They're getting 1, so I'll move it up to 7. I also am a little nervous. I think you guys are right about Derrick Henry. You know, he's taken one too many hits. I mean, how many of these running backs can take as much punishment as Derrick Henry has taken and then continue to come back every single year? You know, the only thing is, I'm not as high on the Colts as Gilly is. I think the Colts are decent, but now you're asking him to win by 7 on the road, especially in a game that's going to be like run the clock. You know the Colts are going to give it to Taylor like 1,000 times. You know they're going to give it to Henry 1,000 times. It's going to be hard to lose by more than 7. I'll get Tennessee plus 7.
You're asking him to win by more than 7. I'm not. Yeah.
No, you're not. Yeah. I'm just saying. With the T, I wouldn't take Tennessee plus the 1, but if you're giving me all the way up to the 7, now I'm saying, okay, I think I could do that.
Willie?
I thought about using the Jets, but a couple things concerned me. I just worry that defense is quitting at some point where, like, what are we playing for? Like, why are we trying to rescue this season with Tim Boyle? Like, you worry about them. Defense is all about intensity, and if you just lose 5% of that, it takes you from a really good defense to a less defense. So I do worry about that the last – whatever, third of the season. And plus, Rodgers couldn't come back. I mean, you know, Rodgers could be on the field Sunday. Can we spend more time on a dumber subject? I can't believe the amount of time. They're 4-7, about to be 4-8. He's not playing. If he is playing, they should fire everybody.
Yes.
I'm just so sick of that. But yeah,
I went off on it this morning, and I agree with you, Will. I need to get Dr. Chow on. I need to, like, actually challenge him on this bullshit. It is so – I'll just real quickly in 20 seconds. First of all, they're not going to be in playoff contention. Secondly – I've ruptured two of these. There's still a rate of re-rupture. We're still humans. As great as his surgeon might be and as great as that technique might be. Cam Akers is the gold standard. He was 22 years old. He came back in 5.5 months. Aaron Rodgers is 39. He's saying he's going to come back in 3.5 months. There is, if the Jets allow him on the field, it is the single most irresponsible thing they've ever done. Now, here's the other, there's a performative part of this. Can Aaron Rodgers stand, take a snap, take 2 steps, 3 steps back, and throw a football? Yes. If that's what we're talking about, and he wants to do that just to show that he came back, that is possible. I'm talking about actually playing football, where you have to scramble and plant and dart and go back and forth and actually play the real position and get hit. You cannot let him get back out there, even if you are in contention. It is so ridiculous. And you have all these doctors online. Oh, I think it's very possible that he could do this. No, no, not real football. No, stop it. Dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, my teaser, I'll just take the Jags down to the 2.5 for obvious. Oh, is it 9?
Whoa.
Easy,
whoa,
buddy.
Whoa.
Easy.
Is it 9?
Jacksonville were using 9. I had to lay 9.
Yeah.
So you can't go to the 2.5.
Calm down. Sorry. You got it. You're manipulating the records to begin with, so I can try to get
that's shot. Right. Well, you have no credibility anymore.
I'll take the Titans.
I'm not manipulating anything.
I'll throw one little thing in there. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Tannehill again. I think the AFC is starting to come back to the pack where the Titans can talk themselves into, hey, maybe we can get into the playoffs. I don't know. Tannehill's an okay player. He gives you a better chance to win. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw him again.
Playoffs.
Titans plus 7. What the hell? I'll break the rules. I'll go Cowboys to the -3. If it lands on 3, I get a push. You're not supposed to do this. I don't know if I would bet
it's 3.5, though, Willie, because we're using Dallas minus 9.5 for other picks.
Okay. Jesus,
what a police officer this guy is.
All right.
Look, Titans we can't be 7. Inconsistent
Titans
on the line.
Titans plus 7, Jets plus 8. Titans plus 7, Jets plus 8. I'll live with it if Tim Boyle's going to give me, as Todd says, the old Keister shot here. I don't love it, but I'll just play the numbers here. Titans and Jets.
I just want to warn the Steve Fezziks of the world that you can take away my sharp card before what I'm about to do, but I don't care. This is the week where there are no wongers. I am taking the Jaguars down to, what is it, 3?
Thought about it,
Jaguars
too.
Is down to 3, yeah.
I'm taking the Jaguars down to 3, and I'm taking the Miami Dolphins, sing it, down to 3.5 at Washington. The Dolphins.
Texting Fez right now.
What's that? Fezzik is texting. Yeah.
Texting Fez right now.
Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins. They are not a Wong teaser. Oh, Gilly, you're using it, and you're gonna take a beating from our dad, Steve Fezzik.
From our dad, Steve Fezzik. If the Dolphins should be able to name their score against Washington. We saw the Washington defense against Dallas on Thanksgiving. Miami should be able to score 100. And I don't think Cincinnati's got anything to push back on Jacksonville. So, yes, it's not wonky, but I'm doing that one. That's going to be Miami and Jacksonville as the teaser. By the way, television recommendation, in-season Hard Knocks Miami Dolphins. They're 2 episodes in. It is so good.
Is it really?
Mike McDaniel is so likable. He's so different. He is absolutely exists at his own constitution. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks about his personality. He's hilarious. He's smart. Tua is super likable. Even Tyreek is super likable, but Tua especially. I love it. I think it's a great. And by the way, Jalen Phillips just ruptured his Achilles, so that was kind of sad to watch also. But it's good. I like the Dolphins a hard nut.
I got to check it out. I saw the first 15 minutes of like the first one, then it was late. I was falling asleep. I forgot it was even on. It just sort of came on, so I'll get back to it. I just had a quick question, Gil, because you're familiar with Washington in this field. Do you have any thought just handicapping this game? That track is always sloppy, especially late in the year. Miami's a team that needs a good track. They rely on their speed. Is that something that you think is a factor, that field being a mess?
It's a good point. But in the wash, no.
Okay.
Yeah. I think without...
You have to have a defense.
Yeah, you have to have some semblance of a defense. And I do think...
I just mean maybe think of playing an under or something like that.
Oh, that might be a play, right? Because it's 49.5. That could be. But I just like the trading of Chase Young and Montez Sweat has reduced them to such little pass rush that it's just... Those corners suck to begin with. So it's going to be tough for Washington to keep contact with them. But yeah, the under might be a play. Maybe that's enough to get it under.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Which brings us to the final two questions of every Megapod in history. Ace will remember these two. The first of which is, of the big favorites, which is the most likely to lose outright? Your candidates are the Cowboys, 9.5-point favorites at home against Seattle tonight, Thursday night football. The Miami Dolphins, as we just mentioned, 9.5-point favorites on the road against the Washington Commodes. The Jacksonville Jaguars Monday night, 9-point favorites at home against the Bengals. Cowboys, Dolphins, Jaguars, most likely to lose outright. Ace is?
The Dallas Cowboys tonight. I do think Seattle is live in this game, not just because I lean that way, but it's just Dallas's history of a misstep when it shouldn't happen. And this is prime. They're coming off a game where they looked great, a game that mattered. They had a couple big games in a row, and now they have Philly up next. I really do think this smells of a huge letdown for the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, they're a 5-0 team at home. You really think Dallas is going to end up going 8-0 at home? I don't think so. Look for Seattle to throw a wrench into that home undefeated record tonight and get the money line win.
That's mine.
They get there.
That's mine too, by the way. I agree with Ace completely on that one. Dodd?
I agree too. I mean, if there was ever a team that was ready to make a duty down their leg, this is the team that's ready to do it.
Will?
I'll go Commanders just because, you know, Miami outdoors, maybe in the cold, not a great track. I saw some questionability about Hill being at 100%. So I don't love it. I don't think it happens. I'll take a flyer on Washington.
Okay. By the way, real brief Survivor question. There's 80 entries left in Circa Survivor. 9,267 started this. The intrinsic value of each of those remaining 80 entries is, you ready for this? 100. Let me get the exact number. 100. Oh, wrong place. Sorry.
Approximately $110,000.
$115,837.50. Okay. Most of these remaining entries have been chalky. They don't have any of the big favorites left. Some do, but most don't. If you, so you didn't have Jacksonville, you didn't have Dallas, you didn't have Miami left. Most, well, no, you didn't have Dallas or Miami because you used those. Jacksonville, you're probably saving for their home game against Carolina later after Christmas, which you're already saving the Eagles for. By the way, I didn't include the Chiefs in that group on the road against, what are the Chiefs right now? Those are still 6 points.
5.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Only
can't,
5.
Can't excuse it. Can't include those. And by the way, they've used the Chiefs too. If you had a choice, I did this with Will on air the other day. So you're reduced to a choice of these three games. Chargers on the road against the Patriots is choice number one. Steelers at home against the Cardinals is choice number two. And choice number three is the Buccaneers at home against the Panthers. So Chargers on the road, Bucks and Steelers at home. If you had to pick Bucks. One of those three for Survivor, it's what now? Bucks? You said Todd?
Bucks.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Will,
the Panthers are just a dreadful team.
Will?
Even though I like the Arizona getting the points, I think it's Pittsburgh. I don't think they'll lose the game. I worry about Trask playing quarterback for Baker. I worry about a little bit of a coaching bump with Reich being fired. Sometimes you see that for a week. I know it's kind of washes in the numbers, and I would throw up in my mouth before I had that much money relying on the Chargers to do anything productive. So by default, sort of, it'd be the Steelers.
Ace, those three games, which is the survivor play?
Yeah, for me, it's the Steelers as well. I mean, not only is Arizona statistically one of the worst teams in all of the NFL, but put them on the road and it gets even worse for them. So for a team that wins straight up and power rating wise, I think it makes sense. Pittsburgh's solid there and defensively. I'd take the Steelers.
Todd, I'm with you on this one. I think it's the Buccaneers. Just because if I played the Chargers, they would absolutely lose.
Can't play the Chargers.
Yeah,
if you lose with the Chargers, you want to kill yourself.
You're going to kill
yourself.
So
you might as well just kill yourself. Yeah.
And
then you can't take the Yinzers. The Yinzers can't win by a margin.
If I could just finish the thought. And if I don't take the Chargers, they will absolutely win. So I just want to stay out of the Chargers business. You're right. The self-loathing would be off the charts. And with the Steelers, like, Kyler Murray's just pesky enough that I don't want to live through that. But with the Bucks, God, there's just nothing on the other side of the field that makes me worry. Even with a new coach, right? Interim coach. So I would take the Bucks, even though I hate the Bucks too. All right, final question. We live in a bizarro world. We must play a side on each and every one of these games. But we are allowed one free pass. Ace, what's the game you want no part of?
Cleveland and the Rams. Yeah, there's just the line, the change of line movements. It just confuses me. The quarterback situation on both teams. To me, that's just the stay away game. Again, a while ago was Cleveland -7. A week ago was -1. Now it's Rams -4.5. This is one of those games you would have liked to gotten involved with where you could middle if you got out ahead of the market. Otherwise, it's just nothing I want to get involved with.
Cleveland at the Rams wants no part of that game. Dodd, what do you want no part of?
I agree. What is Joe Flacco the quarterback now? Like, who's playing quarterback for the Browns? This is insane. I don't want any piece of that game. By the way, on that show, on the Miami Dolphins in-season Hard Knocks, do they play the incessant da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- doing that.
I know the song, but they don't use it as much in the end season Hard Knocks.
I love the show, but it's just like every 2 seconds, the guy's walking into the building. Like it's dramatic. I mean, he's just walking in the building. Can we calm the F down with the
In the summer one, they have the drama. It's one of the big storylines of who's going to make the team, who's going to be cut. So there's a human interest story. There's a little bit of drama with that where you have certain guys you're rooting for to make the team and they could be cut any day. So that's an element that's not really there on the in-season one.
But you know,
They have like.
Yeah, but you know what? They cut back on that on the preseason one too.
They didn't show the cuts, but yeah, it was still a storyline, right? Like, this guy's undrafted, or he's a seventh round pick, and he's got kids, and this is his life story. Will he or won't he make? they weave that into the storyline.
That used to be the best part of the show, I thought.
Yes.
Where I think the best one ever was the Cleveland Browns one, where Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson. Oh, yeah. That was so great. But the
you just got fired by Jackson State, by the way.
Yesterday. He did. Oh my God! But like that, I remember Rod Gardner when he was with the Chiefs. Because I always used to marvel. I was like, wow, all these players take this so well when they get cut. And I remember Rod Gardner of the Chiefs was like, why the fuck y'all cut me? It's like, finally, somebody got that. Like, that's great.
I like the one with Herm Edwards was the coach, and he was bringing a big sign to meet the bus. And I'm thinking, if he has enough time to write a sign to meet the bus, he's not doing his job. And I was never a big Herm as a coach guy. And that led to many bets against Arizona State and the under.
I love that Cleveland Browns one, man. Do you remember when, like, I remember when Hugh Jackson, yeah, because there was the, who was the offensive coordinator? What was my man's name?
The old Kansas City
Tressman,
coach.
Mark Tressman.
No, it was, he was the Tressman? Chiefs head coach. Why the hell am I drawing?
Oh, I thought Tressman was offensive coordinator. Anyway, there was this dynamic where I remember when they finally, like, Hugh Jackson finally made Baker Mayfield the number two guy. And I remember Mayfield being like, number two, like I'm supposed
Todd
to.
Haley.
Todd Haley, that's who it was. It wasn't Trust Me Right, it was Todd Haley. And I remember thinking about Baker Mayfield. He was like, these guys expect me to like rejoice that they gave me the number two job. I was like, I don't want this. I'm like, thanks, big deal. There's so many little elements to that one. Carl, coochie, coochie, coo, Carl. Okay, so you say you agree with Ace then, Todd? You're on that Cleveland Rams game? By the way, Flacco officially is still, the headlines still say, could start for Browns. Could start.
I mean, he's probably an upgrade from DTR.
Adam Schefter's latest report, with DTR now in concussion protocol, Joe Flacco has been taking snaps as Cleveland's QB1 in practice. Could start. He's also a could start. All right. And then Ian Rappaport says would get the start. What is your choice, Will? Which you want to be part of?
I'll go Vandy, Boston College. No, I'll go Chargers, Patriots for obvious reasons.
Second half of that Vandy game? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Chargers, Patriots.
Chargers, Patriots.
Come on.
I am going to select the Lions Saints game, actually.
I like that one.
I don't, ooh. Cleveland Rams was going to be my number two, but Lions Saints, just because. The Lions couldn't have looked any more listless this last game. I know they're on extra rest. And I think Derek Carr, like, I can't stand Derek Carr. Always makes the wrong choice at the wrong time. That one you sent me, Will, where he throws the 4-yard out, I let out an audible gasp watching that live. I was like, oh, that'll get him to the sticks. I don't know, but it's New Orleans at home. You know how that can go. But they might not. So I just stay away. I have no feel for the New Orleans Saints at all. Gentlemen, that's all we can offer. I appreciate it to everybody. Ace, great to see you, man. Great to see you.
Seeing you too, Gil, and all you guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank
Greatly
you.
Greatly appreciate it.
Good to see you,
it.
Ace.
Thank you for doing
Good
it, and we'll get you back for the Lifestyle Show, yes?
Thank you. Of course. Thank you.
Lifestyle.
Thank you. It'll be my pleasure.
And I'm not going to ask you what you're going to talk about. It sounds like, though, based on what you're saying, that this is a more serious version of Ace coming up on the Lifestyle Show, yes?
We'll have fun.
All right.
Yes.
All right. And your Twitter is?
Greek underscore gambler.
Greek underscore gambler. All right. Todd, Will, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it very much. I will have a bounce back week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not letting these guys catch me. Thanks for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Week 13 in the National Football League.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.